try to get into this thing here. Well, we'll go back to the Psalms again. I got a message here I want to try to bring to you out of the out of Psalm 37. I trust you will bear with me. I get through this. This chest congestion gives me a little rough time. Psalm 37. I'm going to call this, Jason, you can title it for the CD, A New Year Sermon. I was looking over this psalm all week. In my psalm reading, I picked up on it. The psalm was written by David, of course, and it was written by David in his old age. Oh, thank you, buddy. I thought there was something I was missing here. I know y'all like to have this thing on. Well, you can hear me a little bit. I got such a smooth, slow, sweet, soft voice. All right, Psalm 37. A New Year's Sermon. I started to say David, of course, the great King David of old. He wrote this psalm. And he wrote this in his old age. David, that's clear in the psalm. It says it down in verse 25, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's a good statement, Terry. That's a good promise, isn't it? That sort of encourages the hearts of every child of God. And it's a testimony. He's telling this from experience. I was young. I grew. Now I'm old. And all my life, as I observed around me, the righteous were never forsaken. Nor did I ever see his seed, God's seed, begging bread. That's good. But you know the great riddle of the prosperity of the wicked and the affliction of the righteous. You see this, you wonder, you see it all around you, don't you? And you go back through history, and church history especially, and you read the Bible, and you see it over and over again throughout the scriptures. The great riddle of the prosperity of the wicked and the affliction of the righteous, which perplexes us so greatly. So often, but it's dealt with in this psalm here, which is very interesting. In this blessed psalm, we get some answers to that thing. We have many other psalms and answers to it. Psalm 73 is a great psalm, Psalm of Asaph, you know, where he complains of how the righteous are oftentimes forsaken, and the wicked just continue to expand themselves and just their prosperity. They grow rapidly, enormously. But in the inspired words of the Lord, he hushes most sweetly the common repinings of God's people, repining over these things, and calms their minds, which is good. He calms our minds, and it's dealt with here, and we see it, even though we're surrounded by oftentimes the raving wolves, you know, the sheep are surrounded by the enemy. And in the scriptures, you know, the enemy is sometimes depicted by the vicious wolves and what have you that try to prey on the sheep. And we are surrounded by enemies. The few of God's people, they're not all collected in one place. They're scattered here and there, usually in little bitty cells. And oftentimes when there's so many that disdain them constantly disdain and despise them, and despise what they stand for, what they believe, and often asking questions, how in the world can you believe what you believe? You know, but we do. We believe what we believe, and we voice our convictions, and we ought to voice our convictions. You know, God's our God. We believe our God's in the heaven. David writes about this. Our God's in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he pleases. He has done whatsoever he pleases. And sometimes we don't understand it, do we? We don't understand what's going on. And we'll not understand it. It's not given for us to. One day we'll know. One day we'll see. One day it'll come clear. And by and by, it'll all come clear. We'll see the whole purpose of God. He brings it all to a close. And he's going to bring it to a close, folks. You can count on that. It's coming to a close. Maybe nearer than what we think it is, you know. But anyway, we think about these things. He does so by David's biographical response. In verse 35 and 36, he says, I've seen the wicked in great power. David said this. David was king. But he saw the wicked around him, the nations around him, the kings in other nations, in other places, all around him. He said, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree, just keeps spreading out. Yet he said, he passes away. He passes away. And see, he says, and see, he was not. He said, yes, I sought him. I sought him, but I could not find him. He could not be found. That's so, isn't it? And how much a man amasses, how much wealth he amasses to himself and builds to himself, how great he might be in the eyes of others, after a while, that whoever he is. All men go the same way, don't they? All men go the same way of all the earth. They go, after a while, they pass away. They just pass away. We're going to pass away. One of these days, you and I will be gone. Somebody will say, you remember old so-and-so? And somebody said, I think I do. Won't be much thought about us, will it? Won't be much thought about us at all. But we'll be gone. We'll be passed away. And so is every man. It make no difference what the status of his life is, where he's rich, where he's poor. He's all of us going to pass away. David said that. He said, yeah, and he said, I've seen the wicked in great power. I've seen him spreading himself just like a green bay tree, just spreading out more and more, gaining more power, more clout, more wealth. He said, yet he passed away. Yet he passed away. And see, he says, I see him no more. He was not. I sought for him, but he could not be found. And it was not something he had been told. David said, I saw this. I see it. It was something he saw. Something he saw. And the psalmist goes on. He tells us that we look at this psalm here, there's eight precepts in this psalm. Eight precepts. They're very vital, very instructive, very helpful to us. Well, I call it a good year's sermon. Good to start out. We can think about these eight precepts. I'm going to just swiftly go over. I'm not going to spend much time on them, but just point them out to you that you and I might gain some encouragement from. And might even use them as resolutions. You know, people make resolutions this time of the year. And resolutions are made to break, aren't they? Most time, just made to break. Be good if we could keep these right here, though. Starts out in verse 1. Here's one of them. Here's one of them in verse 1. Fret not. Fret not. He goes on in verse number 3. He says, trust in the Lord. That's a good thought, isn't it? Trust in the Lord. And then in verse number 4, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse number 5, he says, commit thy way to the Lord. Thy ways to him. Rest in the Lord, verse 7. Cease from anger, verse number 8. Depart from evil and do good, verse 27. And then that final, that eighth one, he says in verse 34, wait. Just wait on the Lord. wait on the Lord. Just rest on Him. Rely yourself upon Him. Trust all matters to the Lord. Whatever comes this year, learn to do these things. Just put them in the hands of the Lord. He's the one that takes care of all things. He does. So think about this with us. Let's look at these things right quickly. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. And you're capable of doing this, capable of doing it. You're susceptible to it, so you might ought to think about this. He's sincere. God inspired this. God said to you and I, He said, look, when you look around you and you see all these things going on around you, evil, 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 evil on every side. And it doesn't seem to get no better, does it? Doesn't seem to get no better at all. It's evil. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So we might think about this. You know, we may be grieved at them. And it does grieve us, doesn't it? And we may be grieved for what they... for them and what they seem to be trying to accomplish because of their evil doings. And maybe even angry with them and for them. Yet are not to show any undue wrath or warmth toward them, at least in an indecent way, by calling them what kind of... sometimes we're capable of doing, sometimes we're susceptible to doing. Call them hateful names. I'm bad about that. I wish I didn't cuss like I used to. You know what I mean? I don't cuss out loud. But, you know, I wish I didn't. I wish things wouldn't come to my mind like I used to. I get upset every now and then. I think things I ought not to think about those that would do us in, you know. I do. I don't like it. Do you? Don't like it. We don't. None of us like it. It goes against us. So it goes against our nature. We don't like that at all. But that's fretting. That's fretting. My wife, oftentimes, I wish she wouldn't say these things. Because that makes me that much uneasy about who I am and what I am, what I think. But oftentimes she said, well, you ought not think that. You ought not say that. You know, folks out here on the road, they'll run all over you, won't they? Does that upset you? Huh? They will. They will. And she said, why do you let that bother you? I don't know. Why do I let it bother me? I don't know. It shouldn't. I agree with it. I shouldn't. And I just let her say what she pleases. But, you know, the other coming to church over here the other night, Wednesday night, I guess it was. Last Wednesday night, coming to church over here, Steve. I just trying to take my time. It was kind of bad Wednesday night, wasn't it? Was it rainy Wednesday night? Yeah. It's rained for the last couple of weeks. But anyway, coming down out of Alabama, down Highway 5 over there, and a fella came around me in a little truck, a little Toyota truck. He's just a getting it. And, I had a long way to go. He went about half a mile and turned right. I said, what'd that fella do that for? What was his hurry? Why'd he do that? She said, why'd you let that bother you? I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why. I wish I didn't do those things, you know. That's violating this precept right here. Fretting over something that you can't change. Don't mount to a hill of beans, does it? No, I don't. Don't mount nothing. But we do those things. You know, he says words. The words here may be rendered, do not show thyself warm or angry or in a hot-tempered, sinful way, or fret not at their outward prosperity. That sort of hits us there, don't it? Old writers, when they go into the word study of the Hebrew or the Greek, and they make this thing say more than what you're saying right here in front of us, you know, right here on the plain page, And so enlarge on it, it just makes it that much worse. And sometimes you don't need that. In other words, the word he says, you fret not thyself because of evildoers. And Dr. Gill, in his word, studying here, he rendered this thing. He said, don't show thyself warm or angry. Don't get all heated up about these things, you know. And don't get hot-tempered in a sinful way. You know, be angry and sin not. You know, we do show righteous indignation against certain things. But there's a stopping place. Sometimes anger is not all that sinful. It's part of us. It's part of the nature that we come into this world with. Most of us, we differ. Some of us got a hotter nature and hotter temper than someone else, you know. I used to think I wished I could keep my composure like I'd see somebody else keep his composure, you know. I used to have an old boy over at, when I worked at Lockheed Aircraft years ago. And he's a shop steward and a union man. He went to bat for us, you know, occasionally. And he'd go before the big guys, the foremans and all. And I'd go sometime with him, you know, assisting to him. And he'd be so laid back and so composed. And they gets rough with him sometimes, you know. Opposing him on what he came in there for, in the office for, you know. He'd just sit there with a grin on his face. And be some composed. And I used to think, Jason, I said, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. I mean, it's, you know, just keep it under your hat, you know. Stay cool. But he was made up different than me. He was made different than me. And that makes the difference. Yeah, so we just cease from anger. The scripture says that, and forsake wrath. The scripture says that. Fret not yourself against to do evil. You see that in verse number 8. You know, some suppose that it was well nigh impossible to pass the time of our sojourning in this world as believers, you know, without some degree of anxiety, some degree of depression of spirit. And granted, these feelings will come. They will come. But we are not obligated to welcome them. You understand what I'm saying? We don't look for opportunities to express them. It's not healthy. It's not good. The old reformer, Martin Luther, back in the 1500s, Luther quaintly said this. He said, this is a good thought here, too. Think about this. He said, whereas we cannot prevent birds, you know, from flying over our head, we can't do that. No, sir. He says, hovering over us, flying around and about our heads, but we can prevent them from building a nest in our hair. Don't start entertaining these things, you know. So come somewhat welcoming these things. No, we don't want to do that. No. That's trouble. We want to stay away from that. And then you'll notice, here's the second one, the second precept. It's a most divine precept. I love this precept. In verse number 3, you see that in verse 3? Trust in the Lord and do good. Just trust in the Lord and do good. Go about your business. Just leave it with the Lord. I wished I could do that. I really do. I wished I could just be so composed and laid back and just, well, whatever. Lord, I'm trusting this thing with you. I'm gonna just continue to do what I'm supposed to do, which is bring glory to your name. Just to be good and bring glory and honor to your name. But I have to have grace for that, you know? I have to have grace just to trust the Lord. I get too involved in things sometimes. Do you do that? I do. I have to watch myself, you know. Politics and the way the country's going, stuff like that, sometimes I get too deep into it. I'm not going to change nothing. I'm not. There's a very little I can do. It's just going to work out like God's got it all purposed out and all planned out. And that's right. I don't like what we got up there to you. But God put it there, didn't he? He put it there. And so we abide what he does. What he does. Just abide with it. Abide his time. All the time. Just trusting in him. You know, this, I think this is a remedy for tough times. Trusting the Lord. Just settling down, trusting God for tough times. It's good, sound advice that we have here. Because it's given by divine wisdom. God gave this. He gave this precept here to us. This was breathed out of God. And so you can rely on this. And you can say, well, that's good. That's good. That's what I ought to do right there. Right there. Just do it. Trust in the Lord. And do good. Do good. You see, trust inspires activity, doesn't it? We don't just sit down in despair. We trust. We trust and we go on about our business doing what we can. You know, that's what I've said before about hoping for, you know, a great moving of God. We pray for it, don't we? Well, we are to pray for it. We are to pray for it. I'd love to see this building filled. I'd love to see it filled with folks that had an interest in the gospel. Had an interest in Christ. I would. I pray for it. God would move on hearts of sinners. Convict them. Convince them of their need of Jesus. Bring them to see Christ. And then settle down to worship and to honor and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Just enjoy it. Get together and enjoy worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for that. And we ought to pray for it. We ought to pray for it. You see, we do what we can, and we pray for what we can't. God's in control. God brings it about. We need to remember that. He says, the words may be rendered, do not show thyself angry. Just trust in the Lord. I mentioned a while ago. And then also, we look at this, and, you know, even in a free society, thank God we are, we still have freedom, don't we? We still live in a free society. We ought to bless God every day for that. I mean, don't have it all over the world. Don't have it all over the world. But we got free. We live in a free society. We're protected by laws. Thank the Lord for that. Our freedom is protected by laws. That's a marvelous blessing from the Almighty God. It's a wonderful nation. It's a wonderful nation. It was established on biblical principles and a great document, the Constitution. You know, it's established on the Bible, on the Scriptures, Bill of Rights. It's established on biblical principles. Well, thank God for that. Gives us freedom. Gives us freedom. It's hard to take it away from us. Though some try, some labor at it. Thank God. But even in a free society, there is very little we can do about things that are coming upon us. You know it? Very little. Very little. We sometimes say in impossible circumstances. You know, sometimes we say this, in impossible situations. Well, we'll just have to trust the Lord. We'll just have to trust the Lord. No, we'll trust the Lord first and foremost. That'll be where we start, trusting the Lord, relying on Him, resting in Him. That's the first and foremost thing. Then the fourth precept you notice here, delight yourself also in the Lord. You see that in verse number 4? Delight yourself also in the Lord. You know, in the persons of God, delight yourself. You know, our God is one God, but our God is a Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three persons in one God. Therefore, we delight in that. Blessed be the Lord. Our God can relate to us. He can. He can relate to you and I. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of man coincide. Every one of us have a spirit in us. You often hear this. I like that man's spirit. I like that man's spirit. They're talking about his, you know, how he works, how he activates himself out here in life, you know. How he conducts himself. How he goes about. They see him. They see him. They may not know him so much by characteristic traits and what have you. They may not know him so much as far as how he might look. But somebody talks about him, hears about him, said, yeah, I like that fellow's spirit. I like the way he operates. Well, we have a spirit in us. We have the Holy Spirit. We delight ourselves in the Spirit of God. We delight ourselves in the Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, by how we delight ourselves in Him. Why do we do that? Because He delighted Himself in us. Yes, sir. He came into this world that He might identify with the children of men. And He became flesh. Flesh. Yet without sin, but flesh. He became like you and like I. And we can relate ourselves to Him. And then the Father. My, the Father. You was talking about in your lesson this morning, Steve. You know, in the Old Testament, they couldn't relate to God as Father. Did you ever notice that all the way through the Old Testament? They couldn't relate to God as Father. They related to Him as God, but not as Father. But when Jesus came and when Jesus identified Himself with you and I and accomplished what He accomplished before He went back into heaven, He told His disciples, He said, now I'm going. And I'm going to be with my Father and your Father and my God and your God. He said, you got a Father now to relate to. It's wonderful to have a Father that you can relate to. One that you can confide in. One that you know loves you and has compassion on you and is faithful towards you in all things. That's wonderful, isn't it? Delight yourself in the Lord, in the persons of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the perfections of God. Oh, yeah, His power, His goodness, His faithfulness, His wisdom, His love, His mercy, His grace. Delight in that. I delight myself every day in the loving kindness of the Almighty God. David said he wakes in the morning to the loving kindness of God. He goes to bed at night relating and thinking about the faithfulness of God. God loved him. God cared for him. God sustained him all the day long. Everything that David needed, he said, God sustained and God granted because He's faithful. He's faithful. Yeah. Yes, He is. In wisdom and love and mercy, my. Mercies every day. Mercies overshadow us like a great cloud. Yeah, it keeps us as the day goes by. and the unmerited favor of the Almighty God, how favorable God is to his people. Isn't it wonderful? Blessed be his name. And then we delight ourselves in his works of creation, his works of providence. You know, I've told you time and time again, folks, watch the providence of God. Study the providence of God. You live in it every day. You experience it every day. God providing for you. God's providence moving this and moving that and blessing in such a way that brings about your safety, your security, your provision. Oh, blessed be the Lord. And then we delight in his word, don't we? That's what we're doing this morning. We're delighting in his word, Brett. We delight in the word of the gospel, don't we? Oh, yes, we delight in the word of the gospel. I've got good news for any man. I can tell you, I can tell any man, I don't care who he is, I can tell any man, any woman, look, I've got good news for you. I've got a gospel to tell you. I delight in it. The truths and the ordinances of the blessed gospel. And delight in his house, his assembly. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about those who gather together in his name, that love him and gather to express themselves in him. Delight in that. It's a delightful thing to meet with God's people, isn't it? Yeah. And you don't have to have a room full. Just delight with God's people, wherever you are able to get together with him and talk about him. And you know, the Lord said he wrote a book of remembrance over in Malachi. He said, I wrote a book of remembrance on each and every one of you, those that fear the Lord. When you got together and thought about me and talked about me, he said, I wrote you down in a book. Isn't that something? He wrote it down in a book. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. Rather than fret and pine, we have infinite stores of delight in the Lord. Infinite stores of delight in the Lord. And then the fifth precept here. He said, commit your way to the Lord. You see it in verse number 5. Commit your way, or thy ways, thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Isn't that wonderful? He shall bring it to pass. Everything coming to pass. Everything's coming to pass. Yes, sir. Oh, that's one of the most encouraging passages of Scripture in the Bible. Found a lot in the New Testament. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. It did. Sitting around the cottage prayer meeting one time, the other boy was talking, and some of the others were talking about various things that they rejoiced in. And somebody said, "What's your favorite passage in the Scripture?" The old colored boy said, "My favorite passage is, and it came to pass, and it came to pass." He said, "You know, when I sit around sometime and don't have no food on the table, have a job, don't have no work to do, the kids are hungry, don't have no clothes to put on the backs, and we're hitting it kind of rough," he says, "I just stop and rejoice in that passage. It came to pass. It just came to pass. Things going to change after a while. I'll guarantee you that. The Lord's going to change it after a while." So commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll bring it to pass. What better motto can we select for a new year than that one? Huh? That's a good one, isn't it? What better motto can we choose than that? I think it means from the beginning to end. From beginning to end. Commit your way unto the Lord. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Commit your way unto the Lord, and he'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. Then you got number 7 here, I guess, or number 6 here, it's found in verse number 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth. It's rest in the Lord. This is a most divine precept here. Most divine, says Mr. Spurgeon. He said, it requires much grace to carry it out, but rest in the Lord. Now, this precept parallels with Isaiah 40, I think. Isaiah 40, verse 31, I believe it is, he said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings, as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Rest in the Lord. Amen. Rest in the Lord. And then there's this next one, number 7. Cease from anger. Cease from anger. You know, especially, I think, anger against the arrangements of providence. You think about that. I get mad sometimes because the way God providence arranged things. Well, that's getting mad at God, you know. Can't do that. My goodness. God Almighty knows better than me, don't he? He does. He knows better than you. He might be disappointed, but think about it a little bit. If God did it, he did it for your good. For all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. He promised us that. So don't let it upset you. Just praise God for it. Yeah. Being jealous of temporary pleasures. Those who are soon to be banished from off the earth. God help us. You know it? I mean, men outside of Jesus Christ are getting all they're going to get here. I mean, can't take nothing with them. Let them prosper. Bless the Lord. Just let them heap treasures upon treasure, and wealth upon wealth, and fame upon fame, and power upon power. Let them have it all. They can't take it with them. That's all they're going to get. God's people are going to inherit everything. But the scripture said, meek shall inherit the earth. And we have an inheritance. Peter said, we have an inheritance laid up for us in heaven, in Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. So, my soul. That's so much. Yeah. Need to be careful. Cease from anger. Spurgeon says, anger anywhere is madness. Here it's aggravated insanity. He said, goes on and says, yet since anger will try to keep us company, and it will, we must resolve to forsake it. It's your turn to pass this scripture. I'm about through here. Over in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this over here. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 26. Here, 26. Starting there, 26. Here he says, Paul says to the Ephesian church, he said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. God help us. Hey, boy, I tell you what, you want to have a good night's sleep, you practice this right here. And if you want to have bug acres, you want to have terrible, terrible fights through the night, through some kind of strange dreams and boogers getting after you and all that kind of stuff. So just get mad at somebody and go to bed on it. You will. You'll wrestle and turn all night long. You won't rest a bit. Won't do it. He goes on and says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That's what you're doing. If you violate this thing, if you fail here, you're just giving place to the devil. I don't give him no place to you. He's got enough already. He said, let him bestow, steal no more, but rather let him labor and working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication come out of you, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Now watch this, and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And practice this. Get rid of that and practice this. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's a good practice, isn't it? Good practice. Here he says, verse 27, use that seventh precept. Depart from evil and do good. You see that? Depart from evil and do good. Lord, help me here. Yeah. Help me here. Help us never to envy evildoers. But depart altogether from their practice and spirit. You know Lot. You remember old Lot. Lot went down to Sodom. He sure did. He was drawn into Sodom. Foolishly, he left the good land, went to Sodom thinking he'd make more money, thinking he'd prosper greater. But he fell right into a cesspool of sin, wickedness, ungodliness, filthiness. But when he departed, he altogether departed. God sent those angels down there to take him out. And when he left, he never looked back. He never looked back. And that's the way we all leave sin. I mean, you depart from it, don't look back. There's nothing back there. There's nothing back there to draw you back there. God help us, just to leave it. Go our way and look for the better thing, which is in God alone. So depart from evil and do good. And then finally, this is the last one. This is the eighth one. Eight good precepts, eight good things to practice. Verse number 34, you see it there? He says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Yeah, wait on the Lord and keep his way. This little word wait here is easy to say, isn't it? But it's awful hard to carry out. Wait. Patiently wait. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord? My soul, you can't wait on a better help than the Lord. And he's coming. He's coming. He's gonna be there. Just wait on him. Jesus will show up. I guarantee you that. We got the promises. He'll be there. I'll be there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said that, didn't he? So just wait on him. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll bring you out of the trial, whatever the trial is. Just wait on me. I'll be there. I'll be there. Those disciples went down. Did shipping. They went out upon the Galilean Sea. And he told them to do so. They hit a storm. Man, it was tough. I mean, water was coming into the boat. Right and left. And the boat was swaying here and there. They were bailing water, frantic. And I imagine one of them looked up and said, Where is he? But just wait, he'll be there. So a little while, sure enough, there he was. There he was. Scared them to death. They thought they saw a ghost. No, Oh, it was Jesus. He was there. What was he there for? To save them. To deliver them. When he stepped in the boat, the sea became calm, soft, and sweet, like a little kitten laying down at his feet. He was there. Wait on the Lord. Yeah. Wait on the Lord. We do that in faith. You know, David, he experienced, I said, what he wrote here. The kingdom was his long before he came into it. He had to wait a long time. He knew it was his. Old Saul was running roughshod over him the whole time, but he had to wait. Had to wait on the Lord. It was difficult, but he had to wait. And the wait was worth waiting for. God gave him the kingdom. He's going to give the... Hey, he said in his book, God said in his book, little flock, fear not. The Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Just wait on the Father. All right. Okay. We'll get Steve up here to lead us in a song. You'll be dismissed.